This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Andy Bischel, President and CEO of Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada. Andy has over 25 years of experience in philanthropy and nonprofit leadership, and he oversees the operation of 13 clubhouses serving approximately 1,500 youth in Clark County every day. Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada has affordable after-school programming starting up this week at all 13 of its clubs and before-school programming at 3 clubs. Andy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who aren't familiar, what is the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada?
Yeah, I always like to give a generalization of we're in when school's out. So it's you know, summer break, winter break, spring break, those kind of things, those big full days, but also before and after school at, again, different clubs, depending on what they are. But it's really, it's a safe place for kids to go after school or out of school time. And then once they're there and we provide that safe place, it's really about finding your passion. So we really want to provide, again, that safe place where everybody has a sense of belonging, that they're part of the group. And we really want to get a lot of youth voice in there. So we like to say there's no rules at the Boys and Girls Club. There are norms, and norms are set by the kids and the staff together. So that not only do they create the norms, but they also help enforce the norms. So again, it really starts to create that social interaction that we want in our kids so that they really start to understand that they have a voice in what their club looks like and what their club sounds like and what we do at the club.
Okay. So as kids are finding their passion in this safe space every day, what exactly happens during the after-school program?
Yeah, in particular after school, what we really want to do is burn some energy, right? We want to get them in after being in the classroom and let them burn some energy and then get right into our programming. So after school programming in particular looks like homework help, and that looks different for different areas. So what we call the littles, the 6 to 12-year-olds, that's fairly traditional, right? Kids come home with homework. Typically, those kids are coming from groups of school that are all the same. So they're all really, they're broken out into age groups. So they're all really looking at the same homework. So they're sitting down and we're helping with them to complete their homework. Peer assisted, but also staff and tutors help the kids with their homework. So when their parents come to pick them up, the homework's done. They can, you know, at that point, go home, get a meal, and really spend some family time at that point. But again, academics is different for our teens. So the 13 to 18 year olds, what we're really looking at, are you on track to graduate? If you're not, how do we help you get on track to graduate? And then what do you want to do after you get your high school diploma? So it's really starting to build that plan for the future. Is it post-secondary ed? And if that's the case, then we want to start taking you on college tours, understanding what the application process looks like, and then starting to look at areas of study. And if school's not what your post-secondary ed isn't what you're looking for, what are those careers that you, what are the technical schools that you can go to get a skill, or the trades that you can move into an apprentice position?
Nice. Okay. So it's starting up for the year this Monday, August 7th. What's the time frame each day for the after-school programming?
Yeah, depending on when schools are getting out. And we were really fortunate to partner with CCSD to get school bus routes back. We had about 15 bus routes pre-COVID that brought a lot of kids to our clubs, but we lost them during COVID. And we worked with CCSD to actually secure 40 plus bus routes going forward. So wow. Really what we want to do is bridge that gap between school and home for parents, right? How does a working parent take time off to get their kids from the school to the club? Is we want to be able to use those bus routes so that they can pick up as late as 7 p.m. at our clubs and really have that time where they can get off work, maybe even stop by the grocery store, grab some food, those kind of things before they pick up their kids. And again, it's really about you know, the programming that we do after school with the kids is, again, getting that homework done, but having some fun, burning some energy so that, you know, really the family can have some good family time at night when they get home.
Nice. Okay. So you've got over 40 bus routes that are picking up kids from over 40 CCSD schools and busing Correct. Them to the various 13 clubhouses. Correct. So basically the after-school programming is from whenever school's out until 7 p.m.?
Correct.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. And that varies school to school. And I get, right, that's 40 different routes to 13 different clubs. So there's there's a little bit of chemistry in there that has to happen in order for it to be the right place. But, you know, we're serving about 1,000 kids right now. We want to get to that 1,500, which is our pre-COVID number. And then we kind of reach capacity at about 2,200 kids a day. So we really want to get to where we're maxing out. And again, that's not 2,200 kids that we cram in a club. Those are ones that we can really, you know, with staff, we can really do all the programming that we do. So, and that programming really revolves around, again, we touched on academic success, but it's healthy lifestyles. So we really want to work with our kids, not only on the physical piece, right? Again, we talked about burning energy through different activities that we do, fun, sports, those kind of things, but also decision-making, right? For the littles, it's really understanding what a balanced diet is, those kind of things, what are healthy lifestyle decisions that they make. Again, elevated a little bit with our teens on, you know, teen hygiene for boys that are coming through puberty is, you know, it's one of those things. So just those kind of things, we really want to target our programming to those kids, really working on the mental health side of really understanding what social emotional health is. We have some professionals on staff to be able to help them do that and really understand when I feel anxiety, depression, suicidal tendency, what are those feelings so that I start identifying them, but also what are the coping mechanisms to really start being able to deal with some of those things. So that's the social emotional balance of the healthy lifestyles programming. And then we have arts programming. And then really the benefit of it all is character and leadership. And that goes back to those norms that I were talking about earlier is we want these kids, the way youth development was described to me being done perfectly is staff aren't doing anything. Peers, the kids are leading all the activities, right? We're just giving them those guidelines to be able to work around, but they're really leading it. And that's what builds character and leadership. And that leads to our fourth component of programming is workforce development. So I touched on it with the teens of getting them ready for, you know, the workforce and having that plan for the future. But we start with the six-year-olds, right? The more responsibility you give these kids, the more character and leadership skills they're building. So we want to build them as early as six. And you get those leadership and character qualities by working with your peers and understanding, you know, an athletic kid may be able to lead out on the basketball court, but when they go into the art room, does that other child start to lead and the athletic kid gets to follow at that point? In the academic setting, again, we want peer-assisted homework help so those academically inclined kids really see that they have a leadership quality in this academic field and they can support their peers with that. And again, so you learn how to lead, but you also learn how to follow where your strengths and weaknesses are.
Wow, that's awesome. So you mentioned a lot of different aspects of programming, but what about STEM and computer labs?
Yep. Yeah, we have to lead with fun, right? We don't want to be school. All of our activities, we really try to gamify almost everything that we do, even homework help, right? How can we make math homework more fun in different ways? And that those are different teaching techniques that we have, but also how do we introduce them into the STEM and STEAM fields to really give them ideas? So we have different robots. Cox is a great partner for us. They have sponsored all of our innovation stations. So computers, 3D printers, robotics, and it's not just operating the robotics, but the code that goes into operating the robotics. So the kids get a set code and understand what goes into that. And again, they're finding their passions, right? So someone may be really into those robots. Other kids are really into the art, right? Yeah. But they get exposure to all of it because they're constantly rotating throughout the club during their time in the club. So again, that character leadership, right? You have strengths and weaknesses as you roll through, but you're not staying in one place doing one thing. We're constantly rotating those age groups throughout so that they get different exposure to different things so that they can really find their passions. You know, art is a great aspect of that, right?
Yeah.
I may not be able to draw, but I'm really creative in design, right? So you may be the kid that actually designs the art program that everybody else is going to paint or color or do those kind of things. So, but STEM and STEAM are, we have some great supporters in that field. We literally just went to Allegiant, their flight simulators yesterday. We had a group of about 20 kids and they actually got to go in a flight simulator and actually fly a plane and learn all the different things about that aspect. So again, you're learning these pieces of STEM and STEAM, but then you get to go to these places during field trips to really see the application and the workforce that career needs of airline mechanics, but pilots and all those different things. And STEM and STEAM are really integral to those industries.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds amazing. So we talked about 40 different bus routes going to the various clubs, and that's a lot of schools, especially compared to before you only had 15, you said, but it's not every school, right? So how do parents Right. find out which schools have bus transportation to the Boys and Girls Clubs?
Yeah, if everybody will just go to our website, bgcsnv.org, so Boys and Girls Club, southernnevada.org. There's a find a club. And then if you look at the schools in those areas and then check with your school to see if they have a bus route, that's really the best way. But we're working on getting that bus list out to everybody. And then if there aren't routes, it's just a matter of requesting them also. So if we can get enough kids together and there's available seats on buses, then we can potentially look at that. So typically they're within, you know, no more than 3-4 miles of the club. So if you really look at our find a club on bgcsnv.org, you can really see the schools that are around that. So if you start kind of drawing circles around our clubs, you can see where those schools are.
Nice. Okay. So all 13 clubs have the after-school programming, but we mentioned 3 of them have morning programming as well. Which are the 3 clubs?
That is the James Club. That's on Cary and Las Vegas Boulevard. And then the Lead Clubhouse, which is on, it's kind of tucked back in there. It's Lindell and Edna. So basically Sahara Decatur is the bigger cross streets that's in that area. And then the Southern Highlands Club.
Nice. Okay. So spread all out. So nice and convenient.
Yeah. And it's really about, for example, the Lead Club is really easy to do a morning program because we have 2 elementary schools that we can just walk the kids to. So we're adjacent to one and literally right around the corner from another one. So we can take, you know, we can walk 50 to 60 kids each in those groups and safely walk them right over to school once they're dropped off. And then we just walk them right back when we don't. We get stuck when we don't have full buses. We just have 15-passenger vans. So it's hard to take a bunch of kids in 15-passenger vans, which is why the bus routes were so key for us is, you know, that way we're transporting 30 and 40 kids at a time.
Yeah, that's great. So how much does it cost for kids to go to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada during the school year?
So we have a $35 annual membership fee. That's a one-time fee for the year. And that's kids ages 6 through 12. And then there's a $40 a week for kids during the school year. It's 80 during the summer, but that's a full day. So that's 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. So the basically 2 o'clock till 7 o'clock at night, that's $40 a week.
And how much is the teen programming?
Yeah, it's a one-time $20 a year.
And nothing per week?
Nothing per week, yeah. We really want to, teens typically opt in themselves. So we really want to make it affordable for them to be able to come and want them to come, right? We don't really care why they come through the door. We just want them to come through the door. And it may just be for gym time. It may be to use the, you know, the gaming machine that we have. It doesn't matter, because ultimately we're going to start talking to them about academics and graduation and careers and all those different things. So again, teen programming looks a little bit different than the kids for sure, but it's meant to and should be different for them.
Perfect. Okay. Now, you mentioned that Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada is in when school is out. So what happens on like holidays, like Labor Day coming up or the staff development days that kids have off?
Yeah. Those full days are, you can drop in and we have a full day rate for that. But again, those summer rates apply. So let's say spring break where kids are out for that full week. We're open like our summer time. So we're open at 7 a.m., close at 6 p.m., and it's $80 a week.
Perfect. Okay. So you mentioned BGCSNV.org is the website, stands for Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada. Is that where parents or guardians could go if they want to sign their kids up or find out more about the clubs?
Yes, and that's the best way. And the map locator is on there. There's a Find a Club button. That'll tell you if we're in the right area for you. And it's really the easiest way to get, you know, the basic information. And then there's several different links and phone numbers that you can call once you get there.
So besides signing up for a membership and paying whatever fees are due, are there any criteria for becoming a member of the Boys and Girls Clubs?
No, you know, we really try to accommodate any special needs. But special needs kids really need to be able to adapt to the clubhouse environment. So that's really our only restriction is we can't afford, we have a 1-to-20 ratio. So one staff member to 20 kids, and we can't provide any specialty care. So that's where we get stuck. But as long as, you know, and we really work with our families, on behavior, on special needs, any of those things. If we can accommodate, we definitely will.
Nice. Okay. So other than that, kids 6 to 12 years old or teens 13 to 18 can take part and be part of the Boys and Girls Clubs.
Correct.
Nice.
Want them to be.
That's awesome. Okay. So once again, the website is BGCSNV.org, stands for Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada. And after school programming is starting up this Monday, August 7th. It's going to be every day, Monday to Friday, at every clubhouse, all 13 clubhouses, from 2 to 7 p.m. or from after school until 7 p.m. And then at three of the clubs, there's also morning programming. That happens all school year. And on the days that are holidays or the kids have off school, then there's additional full day programming available that's optional. And all of the information for that, and if you want to find the club that's closest to you or you want to find out if there's transportation, all of that is at the website, which is bgcsnv.org. Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada, bgcsnv.org. And Andy, I want to thank you so much for being here and taking your time to talk to us about what's going on at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada, how it can benefit kids and teens, and all the amazing things you're doing and the ways that you're paving the way for a bright future for all these kids. So I really appreciate your time talking to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather.
When a student lacks some of the most basic needs,
like food, clothing, and school supplies,
it can be challenging to even attend school.
It can be hard to study, tough to concentrate, impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue every day.
Out in the community, there are great resources for students. and we bring these resources directly to the students who need them most.
We work to ensure that they have everything they need to re-engage in learning in the classroom and at home,
including access to technology, learning materials,
and even emotional support.
By forging caring relationships with students and bringing communities of support to them,
our staff works to achieve equitable learning conditions so all kids can succeed in school and in life. And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Every child deserves an education, yet nearly 130 million girls are excluded from the classroom worldwide. Even when girls are in school, many don't receive a quality education. This isn't just a social issue, it's economic. The World Bank estimates gender inequality costs the global economy $160 trillion. Help CARE ensure everyone can go back to school at care.org/backtoschool.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Robin Growley, Head of Consumer Deposits at Bank of America. Current students and recent graduates are prioritizing financial stability over pursuing a career path they're passionate about. But with the right knowledge, it might be possible to have both. Robin, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Heather. I'm glad to be with you.
So when it comes to teaching our kids financial wellness, where should we start?
Yeah, so I think it's first important to realize that financial stability is top of mind for younger generations, and really being able to talk openly about money management with parents, trusted individuals, grandparents, it's paramount to setting young adults up for financial success. And when we think about, you know, where to start these conversations, I always say keep it simple and start with the basics of budgeting, right? So we know that we're coming off of the summer. A lot of kids, young adults have had summer jobs, and they really, you know, now need to understand what do they do with the money that they've earned this summer. And budgeting is one of those really great, and I'm going to even say easy ways to get them on that right financial journey to help them learn and you know, improve their financial literacy. And so when we think about budgeting, keeping it simple, help them really understand how much money did they earn, how much money do they have coming in, and then also how much do they have going out. And when I say going out, how much are they spending, right? And I think that's where some of the challenge comes in the conversation, being able to determine what is their needs versus their wants. And as a mom of twins that are 8 years old, I always say, like, that's probably, you know, part of our hardest conversations and delineating what's needs versus want. Do they need that new baseball bat or the video game, or do they really just want it? So thinking about budgeting as teachable moments, being able to just have those conversations and identifying what do they really need to spend versus what can they put away and start to save.
Yeah, okay, that's perfect. Now, with graduates looking towards financial stability over career happiness and passion, what are some ways that they could have both, still have financial stability and be able to pursue a career they're passionate about?
You know, it's a really great question. And where I go back to is helping them understand that the habits that they set now for financial stability and understanding, that's really what's going to open the future to them and enable them to have kind of the career path and the journey that they want. And it comes back to budgeting that I just mentioned, but also being able to save and the importance of being able to understand really living it within your means, and that the power of savings is one of the tools that helps them along that financial journey. When we think about savings, really being able to start with a few dollars a week, right? I mean, especially if they're a little bit younger and they're just getting an allowance, setting a goal for $20 a month, that could seem lofty. So just talk to them about, you know, let's save a few dollars a week. And as they start doing that, that the savings will accumulate over time. And then again, that's going to help them, you know, on their financial journey. And then I would also just say, too, being able to put away some funds into a dedicated account. So opening a savings account, that's really going to give them the opportunity to see their savings grow over time. And then also, they won't be as tempted to spend it.
Yeah. Now, I find that there's different personality types. I like to call them savers versus spenders. So those are the people that what you're talking about would come perfectly natural to them. They want to put away savings and have it for the future. And then there's other people who are more into the instant gratification and the savings don't appeal so much. How do we talk to both types of kids and make sure that everyone is benefiting from that type of saving mentality?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. And, you know, and even think about it as adults too. I mean, we sometimes like to go have that $5 latte, right? Like we don't want to give all of those things up. And sometimes those are needs, right? Versus the want. So I think it goes back to the budget, like being able to ensure that the budget that you set up, it does have some room in there for those things that we want. We may not need it, but we want it, right? And it may be the video game. It may be the latte, but being able to accommodate those and making sure that that budget is realistic, right? The other thing that we talk about, and as we look across, you know, different financial institutions, many have, you know, a variety of tools and products that are designed to help parents and children really learn those smart financial habits that can accommodate both of those types of personalities. So I think that, you know, one of the really important tools is helping your child learn kind of to pay themselves first. And so if they have that, you know, job while the after school job, right? If they have money coming into their checking account, well, then get them to set up an automatic transfer that goes into their savings account. And then that way they pay themselves first, and what they have left over in their checking account, they know that they've budgeted for that. They know that they can spend it. And it may be some, you know, portion of that's their fund money. And so they can spend what they want to, but then they're also paying themselves first and putting that into their savings account.
Okay, so besides the standard checking and savings account with the automatic transfer, what other types of programs or products are available that help both parents and kids when it comes to saving?
Yeah, so another tool that I like to talk about is Bank of America's Keep the Change program. And so this is where we automatically round up debit card purchases to the nearest dollar and then transfer that difference or the change from their checking account to their savings account. This is a program that's beneficial all year long, not just during back to school season. And it really helps add a bit of a buffer to the savings account. And I think the other thing that's exciting to hear too is just in July, we enhanced this feature to make it easier for our clients to conveniently roll and keep the change from their mobile device. And we know that all of our, you know, young adults and our children, they love to use their phones. So being able to set up that functionality easily is very important. And then they can also come back and understand, you know, and track how much they've actually saved during the program. And then I would say, in addition, we also offer our Safe Balance checking account and our savings account. These are really great options for students under the age of 24, as it allows them to waive their monthly maintenance fee while they're enrolled in school.
Okay, awesome. So if listeners are interested in finding more about some of the financial products that you mentioned, or finding out more about financial education, financial wellness, where would you recommend they go?
Sure, they can go to bettermoneyhabits.bankofamerica.com.
Okay, perfect. So bettermoneyhabits.bankofamerica.com. You'll find lots of financial information there, education, tips, tools, and then you can also access the financial products that Robin was talking about. So bettermoneyhabits.bankofamerica.com. And Robin, I want to thank you for being here and sharing some information, sharing some tips with us and some strategies. It's been really informative and great talking to you. So thank you.
Absolutely, Heather. Thanks for having me.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes. I even got shot. But I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Every child deserves good vision. To be able to read, learn, or kick a ball. Each day a child can't see, they fall behind. Together we can change that. Eye Care for Kids is the solution. In the past 21 years, we've helped over 500,000 underserved children with vision screenings, exams, and eyeglasses. Your contribution today can provide the gift of sight for a child tomorrow in Las Vegas. Donate now at eyecare4kids.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Rachel Bellis, Associate Director of Local Affairs at People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA. With the current high temperatures, we need to be extra careful with our pets, and Rachel's going to share some tips for keeping them safe in the heat. Rachel, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Heather. It's a pleasure.
So most of us here in Las Vegas know about not walking our dogs during the heat of the day, but what should we know about when and how to walk our dogs during hot summer months?
Well, every year PETA receives dozens of reports about dogs and other animals who have suffered and died of heat-related causes after either being left inside a confined vehicle or left outside chained or penned. In 2022, there were 57 deaths, and already this year we're up to 69 deaths. We know that the numbers are much higher because a lot of these deaths go unreported, which is why PETA wants to remind everyone to never leave your animal unattended in a car, especially during the warm weather. Never leave them outside chained or penned where they can suffer from heat stroke and die.
Okay, so don't leave them unattended in a car, don't leave them unattended in the yard, but what about walking them when the pavement gets hot? What's the best time to do that or the best ways to protect them from the heat when we're walking?
Sure. So the first thing you should do when you go outside is take the palm of your hand and put it on the asphalt on the ground. If it's too hot for your hand, it's going to be too hot for your dog's paws. So always try to avoid cement, asphalt, walk on the shady side of the street, walk in the grass if you can, take them out early in the morning, later in the evening when it gets a little cooler, bring water with you in case your dog needs a break and starts to overheat. Also, the water is good if you see another dog that is maybe experiencing some, you know, heat stroke or is overheating. You can give that animal some water as well. Never go running or jogging with your dog in this kind of weather. We see that a lot. Very dangerous because your dog isn't going to stop until it's too late. So we always want to make sure that our animals are safe and happy. And with this extreme weather that we're having, really, really important to keep these details in mind when you take them out for walks.
Okay. What are the signs and symptoms of overheating or heat stroke in dogs?
If they're lethargic, if they're panting like excessively, if they're disoriented, if they're experiencing lethargy. So when you see a dog experiencing this and they've either been outside or you've seen them come out of a hot car, get them into a shady spot, give them a little bit of water. Don't give them freezing water. Put some water on their back, on their neck, kind of like as we would if it was a human. And then also, you know, make sure that dog gets to the vet because there could be some issues going on inside that we can't see. So it's always good to take them to the vet after they've experienced that.
Okay. Now, what should we do if we see someone else's animal trapped either in a hot car or in a hot yard without any water or shelter?
Well, if you see a dog in a hot car, call 911. Never leave the scene. Take down the make, model, color, license plate of the car. If you're in a parking lot where there are stores, try to run into the stores that you think maybe the owner is in. Have the owner paged on the intercom, but never leave the scene. If you're finding that animal control or law enforcement is taking a really long time, the owner hasn't come out, do what you have to do to make sure that that animal gets out of that car. And then obviously make sure that that animal is okay before you take off. If you see a dog confined to a backyard that's either chained or penned and you think you feel that that dog is in danger, try to talk to the owner if you feel comfortable doing that. Sometimes a little education, sometimes people don't realize how hot it is or how dangerous it can be for their dog outside. If they are not receptive to the conversation, make sure the dog has water and shade. Also, check your local ordinances because they may be breaking the law by keeping their dog outside in this kind of weather. They may not be allowed to chain their dog. So check up on the local ordinances. If you think that they're in violation, call animal control. And if you think the dog is in danger anyway, or if there's something going on, then call law enforcement and animal control.
Okay. Now, which dog breeds are the most susceptible to overheating?
Well, there are purebred dogs that are bred to have the smushed in faces, like the boxer, like the bulldog, the pugs, these kinds of dogs. For them, because of the way they've been bred, they're basically breathing through a straw. That's how we can sort of compare it. And they have a terrible time in the summer. They already have a terrible time breathing. We hear the noises that they make, and sometimes people think, oh, that's so cute. But that's actually them not being able to breathe correctly and comfortably. So these dogs are especially susceptible to the heat. So always be very, very cautious if you have one of these breeds. Keep them inside, take them on short walks, make sure they are in the shade. And really, really, we have to be aware of all of our animals, but really be aware of these breeds.
Okay. So where could our listeners go if they want more information or tips about keeping our pets healthy and happy in the heat?
People can visit our website, PETA.org. There's a ton of information there. You can just type in the search heat or hot dogs or weather related, and there'll be a ton of information that comes up that can help people.
Okay, perfect. So PETA.org is the website to go to, PETA.org. It stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA.org. And just type in heat or hot dogs if you want to search for more information on keeping your dogs happy and healthy when the weather is hot. And Rachel, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing these important tips for all the pet owners and for people who might see animals out there who are suffering in the heat. So I really appreciate your time and your expertise on the topic. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop, that dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Kim Kitchings, SVP of Consumer Marketing for Cotton Incorporated. Kim has been with the not-for-profit Cotton Incorporated since 1996. Their Seal of Cotton is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and according to their recent survey, 90% of Americans are familiar with this iconic trademark. Kim, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Heather. It's great to be here.
So what exactly is the Seal of Cotton?
Well, the Seal of Cotton is utilized to define cotton products, to show you that they're made from cotton and has an emotional connection to consumers that no other fiber can claim.
What is that emotional connection that cotton has to consumers?
Well, hopefully it's the famous tagline you remember, the fabric of our lives. We know that from our television advertising efforts starting in 1989, that we show monumental life stages. When you're wearing cotton, you don't think about that. But from the first moment that a baby's born, it's wrapped in a cotton blanket to where we sleep in sheets. We dry off with cotton towels, t-shirts, denim jeans, even hygiene products. And then items are also baked with cottonseed oil. You don't realize it, but it truly is the fabric of our lives.
So how does the quality of cotton compare to synthetic fabrics?
Sure. Well, when we talk to consumers about cotton and compare it to synthetic fabrics, we find that consumers believe that cotton is significantly more breathable, durable, fashionable in many respects, comfortable, certainly, and also it's more hypoallergenic. So when you look at those attributes that consumers really need, especially right now, Nevada, as hot as it is with your listeners, you want a breathable fabric. Mm-hmm. And the seal helps to note that when consumers are shopping and looking for something to keep them cool in the summer.
Okay. And why is cotton better for the environment than synthetics?
Sure. Well, first, cotton is natural. It's grown from the ground. Hopefully most people know that, but not everyone knows that. And every part of the plant is utilized. And not only is that, but we also know that cotton biodegrades. So when you start to hear things that are in the news right now about microplastics in our waterways, cotton doesn't have any microplastics, but when it is, or when it finally does reach a landfill after you've worn it for years, it biodegrades at a much faster rate than polyester. So there are no microplastics left, and it doesn't contribute to global pollution.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about where you said every part of the plant is used, because I know the fluffy part is used, but what is the rest of the plant used for?
Sure. Well, some of it, the stalks that grow, again, the cotton is a plant that grows from the ground. The stalks can be used to go back into agricultural products, into composting activities, but the seed can be pressed into cottonseed oil to use to bake your goods, but it also can be used to feed cattle and aquaculture and others. So we really are proud of the fact that all the parts of the cotton plant are used.
Nice. Okay. So let's go back to the seal of cotton. So we know that this seal was created 50 years ago. How was it originally created and what was the message behind it meant to be?
Sure. So the seal was created to identify cotton products and regain market share from synthetics in the marketplace. And it was intended originally to be on sewn-in labels and apparel and garments to help consumers find cotton, because it didn't have as much cotton at that time in the 1970s. However, as things changed and we started to regain market share, we started television advertising, that iconic work that you see, the fabric of our lives, on there. And then we started doing other promotional programs too. So it really helped to cement that cotton is the fabric of your lives and that it's comfortable. It's an iconic logo today that more than 8 out of 10 consumers recognize as soon as they see it. And certainly that's because of the word cotton that's in it. It's simple. It's easy to understand.
Yeah, that's interesting, because when we think of the 70s, we think of polyester suits, you know, bell bottoms and disco outfits. And this little seal kind of changed the face of fashion. That's amazing.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And it shifted the perception and the need for those fibers. And again, now today, 50 years later, we know they're not good for the environment. So that's just an added reason to continue to wear cotton with the comfort, but also the seal lets you know that you're doing good by the environment also.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so where could listeners go if they want to learn more about the benefits of wearing cotton or the 50th anniversary of the seal of cotton?
Sure. We'd love for listeners to go to thefabricofourlives.com. It's our website where they can learn more. They can learn more about cotton sustainability, about how to get stains out of your apparel, where to buy cotton items. But also what consumers can do every day is to look and check their labels. Make certain they're buying cotton, because the touch, the feel of cotton, it may feel like it, but it may not be it. And you want to be comfortable, and you also want to, as we said, do right by the environment.
Absolutely. Okay, so once again, the website to go to is thefabricofourlives.com, thefabricofourlives.com. That's the website for Cotton Incorporated, and you can find out more about the benefits of wearing cotton, using cotton, and more about the seal of cotton, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. And Kim, I want to thank you so much for being here today, talking to us about cotton, letting us know the benefits and the amazing history behind it. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. a tree can be a solution. Cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. I care deeply about creating a world we can all fully participate in, free from stigma, misperceptions, and barriers. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Rooted in communities nationwide, Easter Seals helps empower millions of people, regardless of age or disability, through its life-changing services and powerful advocacy. Today and every day, Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vale, and I'm speaking with Troy Broussard, U.S. Army Desert Storm veteran and senior advisor of the AARP Veterans and Military Families Initiative. According to a new AARP report, nearly two-thirds of service members are unaware of new PACT Act law benefits available to them through the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, and that might lead to scams. Troy, thank you so much for being here today.
And Heather, thank you for having me and to speak about this important topic, subject matter today that I would love to share with your listeners.
Okay, so first of all, what is the PACT Act?
Absolutely, Heather. You know, the PACT Act, it stands for Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act. And what it does, it expands access to VA healthcare benefits for veterans who were exposed to burn pits, Agent Orange, and other toxic substances. So this was a law that was put in place back in August 10th of 2022. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that we share, you know, this information with our veterans, because we have a looming deadline to get retro benefits back to the original date on August 9th, 2023 by midnight. So we want to make sure to share that with our veterans all across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. That's coming up really fast. Why is it that veterans aren't aware of the benefits available to them?
You know, what we did was we did a recent survey, and, you know, we found that, you know, veterans are being targeted because of an overall lack of awareness of this new law. We found that nearly two-thirds of those veterans are unaware that they can receive this free assistance with these benefits through the VA. So that's why we wanted to come on and make sure that we share this information so that they can go ahead and get signed up to make sure to see if they qualify for this extremely important newly opened up healthcare services, you know, which is now open to nearly 5 million veterans than before, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that is amazing. So we've got two things here, really. The first is letting veterans know that these benefits are available to them and they have to sign up or see if they're qualified for them before the deadline, which is coming up very quickly. And then the other side of the coin is AARP's concerned that there may be fraud related to the PACT Act. Yes. Why that concern?
Yes. You know, I will tell you, you know, Heather, these scammers, you know, they have a playbook to get us into a heightened emotional state that gets in our way of our ability to think logically. You know, what we want to share is that we want to let veterans know that knowing these specific scams and make it far less likely that anyone will engage with them. But most importantly, we want to make sure we let veterans know that you never have to pay for earned benefits or your service records. If you hear that, if you receive a phone call or an email about that, that is a scam. If someone's asking for your social security number to verify information by utilizing some military jargon, that is something that's a scam. So we want to make sure we do that. And we have that available at our aarp.org/veteran site that gives you those tips with our fraud center and really protects you so that you're not, so you don't fall susceptible to scams by these scammers.
Yeah, now you're right about this playbook, because scammers tend to use scenarios that cause, number one, urgency, and number two, yes, a heightened emotional state. So yes, when we're in that heightened emotional panic state, yeah, it's kind of hard to slow down and think and let the logical brain take over. So what advice do you have for veterans to protect themselves from scams in the moment when it's happening?
Yes, I think while you're in the middle of it, I think the key is just to remain calm. Remain calm and know that you're in control, and make sure that you develop what we like to call as a no script. You know, have your no script available to say that I'm going to reach out to this organization myself and find out more before making any decisions. Thank you very much, and hang up the phone call or something along those lines there. That will prevent you from making those rash decisions. And I also share this here with you, Heather. You know, veterans never sign a blank form or agreement with an attorney or a company without fully understanding what you're agreeing to. I think that's going to be key and critical as well. It's all about increasing their awareness. You know, that's what we want to do. And we want to make it very easy for, you know, our veterans to go ahead and make sure to do that.
Okay. Yeah. And that's great advice for any type of scam that we might get targeted, yes, with. Now, I am concerned about this deadline looming. So you shared AARP.org/veterans if listeners, yes, would like more information. But if they are a veteran and they think they might be qualified for PACT, yes, Act benefits, where do they go to sign up or, yeah, apply for those benefits?
Absolutely. And like I mentioned, it's the deadline is to get the benefits retroactive back to August 10th of 2022. But if they do it after, they will still be, you know, available to get the benefits, but they just wouldn't get the retro benefits back to August 10th. But what veterans can do is go, our veteran caregivers, they can go to va.gov/PACT and go ahead and initiate it there, or they can initiate a claim by dialing 1-800-MY-VA-411. And if you use those two, those avenues there, that would allow them to go ahead and get signed up with the PACT Act and, you know, get on their way to getting those new earned benefits.
Okay, awesome. So once again, va.gov/PACT, P-A-C-T, va.gov/PACT is where you, yes, go if you want to sign up for the PACT Act benefits. The deadline is August 10th if you want to get retroactive benefits for the past year. Otherwise, you could get benefits going forward. So va.gov/PACT, and then the number 1-800-MY-VA-411. 1-800-MY-VA-411. And what can they find if they go to aarp.org/veterans?
Yes. And if they go to aarp.org/veterans, they'll be able to protect themselves by our Veterans Fraud Center that is there. And then we also have a health benefits navigator that can allow them to prepare themselves. We have some PACT Act information there that will prepare themselves for their visit with the VA so that they can make that visit a bit more seamless for the veterans.
Perfect. Okay. So once again, that website, aarp.org/veterans, you've got all the information there, Veterans Fraud Center, information about the PACT Act, how to prepare for meeting with the VA. So it's all right there, aarp.org/veterans. And once again, the VA site is va.gov/PACT. And Troy, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing this important information for listeners. And hopefully some people will get those benefits that they deserve. And hopefully they'll also be able to protect themselves from these scams. So I really appreciate your time and your expertise here sharing with us. Thank you.
Heather, thank you for having me today. And I hope you have a fantastic day. Thank you for all that you do.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
Hi, I'm Bob Maxwell, CEO of Voice of the Veteran, and an Air Force veteran myself.
We give veterans a voice through our many programs. In the last year, we have helped secure nearly $4 million in aid and lifetime benefits for Nevada veterans and their families. So if you're a veteran, call us today at 702-381-2566. That's 702-381-2566. Let's see how we can help you.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada starting its after-school programming for the year this Monday, August 7th from 2 to 7 p.m. at all 13 of its clubs. That will run Mondays through Fridays for the entire school year. And before-school programming is also available at three clubs on Mondays through Fridays from 6:30 to 9 a.m. Find out more or choose a location at bgcsnv.org. This stands for Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada, bgcsnv.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, August 7th at 8 p.m. benefiting Project Dot, and Monday, August 21st at 8 p.m. benefiting Project Real. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. And Foreclosed Upon Pets, Inc., or FUPPY, is holding their 15th annual fundraiser on Saturday, August 26th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Meadows School, 8601 Scholar Lane, which is Rampart and Lake Mead. Tickets are only $45, payable at the door, and RSVPs are appreciated if possible by August 10th. You can email Sandy Marsh at smarsh2009@yahoo.com. That's smarsh2009@yahoo.com. And you can also find out more at forecloseduponpets.org, forecloseduponpets.org, or on Facebook at FUPPY Las Vegas, F-U-P-I Las Vegas, facebook.com/FUPPY Las Vegas.